Okay, we were starting Reb Chaim number 2, and that was the Reb Chaim about Kavana B'Tefillah. Let's just very, very quickly review what we learned. Reb Chaim establishes that there are three dinim in Kavana B'Tefillah. One of them, which is primary and essential, defines the very Maisa Tefillah, and that he calls the element of misasek. If he's not aware of the fact that he's standing with Nashchina, then he's not aware of his mice at all. The mice tefillah that sets up the mice tefillah is his kavon of omed lifnei Hashchina. That's why the Rambam writes in Perik Dalet Alocha Aleph, kol tefillah she'ena b'kavona eina tefillah. V'mispal b'lo kavona chozer mispalel. And the Rambam goes on to tell you what the nature of that kavana is, and that you'll see on the second page of Reb Chaim. Second line, he says, "May ha kavana shiyafana es libo mikol hamachshavos yiratzmo kilu omed lifnei Hashchina." And this is not what he calls a din kavana, but rather this sets up the ma'isa tefillah. Then Reb Chaim goes on to say that there are two other categories of kavana, both of which are din kavana. Din kavana means external to the maisa. And one of them is called pirush hamilos, which the Rambam codifies in Perek Yud Mihilchas Tefillah, when he says that there's a kavana that's absolutely indispensable in the first bracha, which we call avos. And he says, in kiven libo bebracha rishona tshuv eino tsarich, that as long as he had kavana in the first bracha, that's okay. So imagine if there are 19 brachos and he had kavana to the first, then 18 brachos following, he didn't have kavana for. So how could that be tefillah? Because Reb Chaim understands that if you don't have kavana, the Rambam indicates that's as if you skipped, you know, that entire bracha. So you had one bracha out of 19. That's not a very good percentage. I think that's less than 2%. And Reb Chaim answers that the kavana that the Rambam is talking about in Perek Yud is not the same kavana that he's talking about in Perek Dalet, 6 chapters earlier, because the kavana of Perek Yud is a din kavana. And the din kavana is for pirush hamilos, and that's, shall we say, the minimum requirement for din kavana in the case of pirush hamilos is the first bracha, meaning avos. Then Reb Chaim establishes that there's an additional din kavana, which is a universal principle in all mitzvos. If you hold like that, man diomar mitzvos trichos kavana. And by the way, he doesn't mention the Rambam Hilchos Shofar, seems to indicate that he accepts the view of mitzvos trichos kavana, which means that kavana l'shem mitzvah is indispensable to a kiyuma mitzvah. So that even if he had kavana l'pirush hamilos, and even if he had kavana that he's omed lifnei Hashchina, so he has already achieved, number one, he set up the ma'isa mitzvah of tefillah, number two, he had the din kavana l'pirush hamilos in the first bracha of 19, that's not enough. Reb Chaim requires another kavana, number three, and that's the general kavana that applies universally to all mitzvahs insofar as we pass in mitzvah tzrichos kavana, which means that he has to have kavana l'shem mitzvah. And I think we mentioned last time, which was almost a week ago, that the Rav Zichron Levracha was not in agreement with this Reb Chaim. And in the Yartzeit Shirim, the Rav insisted that once you have kavana for tefillah, which means omed lifnei Hashchina, then automatically you yotzei the mitzvah of tefillah, and there's no requirement of kavana l'shem mitzvah. In fact, the Rav indicated that kavana l'shem mitzvah not only is unnecessary, but it's even unwanted. Because the Gemara says in the Sechta Brachos that Hashem does not accept the tefillah of someone who's osa keva. And the Rav understood that osa osa keva, which is not a good thing, is someone who simply davens because he wants to, you know, He wants, as we say in Yiddish, he wants to be potiver. You know, he wants to get this obligation off his shoulders. And here's where the Rav said his famous chiddush that mitzvah srichas kavana means I need kavana to set up the maisa as a maisa mitzvah. But he says that if the mitzvah and the kavana, if the maisa mitzvah and the kavana are one and the same, then there's no need to apply mitzvah srichas kavana. Because if the whole purpose of kavana l'shem mitzvah is to take a secular mundane action and transform it into a maisa mitzvah, if the kavana itself sets up the maisa mitzvah, and the kavana that we're talking about here is kavana of omei lifnei shechina, then it's absolutely unnecessary to convert and transform that into a maisa mitzvah. Existentially, he's doing the mitzvah. He's standing in front of Hashem, communicating to the shechina, pouring out his heart. There's no need to have a kavana l'shem mitzvah in such a case. On the contrary, kavana l'shem mitzvah converts his tefillah into a keva. Keva means like a responsibility. It's like a yoke, a heavy yoke on his shoulders that he has to shake off. And that leads us to the paragraph here, Vehine, and I think that's where we got up to last time. I'm just going to make a bracha. Bracha to Adinoy Leinu Melech Olam Sha'akol Nieh Bukhara. And he says the following, that with regard to the kavana that defines the essence of tefillah, without which it's not even a maisa tefillah, that's the kavana that the Rambam codifies in Perek Dalet Milchus Tefillah, and he says the kavana salev ketzad kol tefillah she'ena b'kavana ena tefillah. And therefore the Rambam establishes that if it's daito mishubeshes velibo torah, if he realizes that his brain is preoccupied with some sort of responsibility, some sort of a headache, so the Rambam says also lo lispalel, because a tefillah without kavana is not a good thing. And then if you fast forward to Perek Yud, the Rambam speaks about Misha hispalev lo kiven libo yachzor v'yispalel b'kavona. No, I'm sorry. In Perek Yud, I meant to say he omits the halacha that if he left out kavona, he should repeat Shmon Esrei. So again, on the one end, in Perek Dalid, the Rambam is very outspoken that if he was libo torah, he's not allowed to daven. If he went in and he davened and he didn't have kavona, he has to repeat Shmon Esrei. Whereas in Perek Yud, the Rambam completely omits any mention of im lois kaven yachzor b'kavona v'yispalel. He says the following, Reb Chaim, v'inach trei bove sheyamo daito im yochel lechaven v'chein v'lochein lo yosu l'spal hishmit. Those other two paragraphs or principles that the Rambam presented in Perek Dalet, namely he formulates the halacha that if he cannot evaluate and estimate his ability to be machaven, then he's lacking the right preparation for tefillah. And number two, the Rambam formulates the principle that if he realizes he's not able to have real kavana, he's enjoined from tefillah. All this the Rambam omits in Perek Yud, when he gets to the Din Kavana, meaning Kavanas Pirush HaMilos. So why is that so? V'nira didas HaRambam d'shnei machlokos hein b'tfila zos HaKavana shu mechaven umakir shu omeid b'tfila. One category is that he realizes and he's aware of the fact that he's standing in front of the Shekhinah, and if he doesn't have that awareness, he's a misasek, as we said before. And then there's another din of mitzvah srichas kavana, which is universal and applies to all mitzvahs. And then we get to the kavana of pirush hamilos. Says Reb Chaim, trei gavnei chiyuvei hema b'tfila. There are two categories that are fundamentally different in tefila, two obligations. Number one, he needs the kavana of the omeid lifnei Hashem. He's a mispalel. And right, and then you need not only to set up the maisa tefillah, but you also need kavana l'shem mitzvah. And that also sets up the Maisa Tefillah. And then he says, Mechuyivu b'kavonas pirusha dvarim mishum chovas kavona mesuyim rak b'tefillah. This is a special, unique din in Tefillah. He needs kavona lepirush hadvarim. V'shnei u'shnei hachiyuvim ein ma'akvim ze et ze. El diyotze boze m'mela. The im who misasek o chasal o din kavanah shel kol mitzvos im kenei batel ikra mitzvah umemela hareyu kolo ispalel v'meini yochel chaven al yispalel kevin de ein zut tefila klal achem bechovas kavanah shel pirush advarim kevin de avi misuyem eschak l'tefila al kein amrina di afa gav deini yochel kaima mikomakom shapir chayla alei chovas tefila. Sheyasa osa kecholam mitzvus the ispe din tefila. Okay, as far as pirush hamilus is concerned, which is a separate, unique halach and tefila requirement in tefila, even though he cannot fulfill it, he still remains obligated in tefila, and he'll create a tefila which is comparable to any mitzvah in the Torah. Why? Because number one, he set up the Maisa Tefillah and also he has Kavana L'Shem Mitzvah. The im sheyuchal lios ken gam below taima, aval yesh lahosif od l'das haram d'chovas tefillah mitzvahs havi b'daraisa, v'afil l'achol kem l'ram havi rak chiyuv aval kiyuma v'nyona havi l'kula l'daraisa. Okay, we'll get back to that. That's a very important derech halimud point. Im ken misaseik davi din d'oraisa b'chol Torah kula, the misasek ain't a klum. It's not a ma'isa tefila min haTorah. V'cheinu the mitzvah srichas kavon and oig b'chol mitzvahs min haTorah. Havi gamkin din ikuv d'oraisa made a tefila min haTorah. Kein lo yispalil. Masha enkin din kavon shel pirush hadvarim misuyim rak b'tefila. Harei gam b'tefila atzma ain't rak mitakonis chachomim. Kein shapinu chalom kevin d'oraisa miya havi tefila kein. Yispal gam im lo yochol lechavin zos ve'ach im yochol lechavin rak shemispal below kavana yachzir yachzor v'yispal mishum hach kavana shechiyuv midivreim alkein lo hevi aramim rak sheyachzor v'yispal el v'lo yoser. Reb Chaim creates a breakthrough here by differentiating between D'oraisa and D'rabbana. And Reb Chaim claims the following, that what's absolutely critical is that we get by the Torah obligation. How do we fulfill the Torah obligation? We set up a tefillah which has kavana number one, i.e. that he's omed with Nashchina. That sets up the ma'isa tefillah. Number two, the kavana that's required in all mitzvahs, on a d'oraisa level, mitzvah srichas kavana, that he's doing this l'shem mitzvah. If he can get by and check off those two boxes, if he can guarantee himself at least that he can have kavana, these omid l'fnei tefillah, that his mind can concentrate on this mitzvah and do and accomplish the tefillah l'shem mitzvah, then you can't take away from him the kiyum mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah, because the Rambam holds that tefillah is d'oraisa. The Rabbana made a takana, and they formulated X number of brachos, and you have to have within the context of those brachos kavana for pirush hamilim minimally in the first bracha. Now what happens if he doesn't have kavana in the first bracha? Then he's going to have to repeat Shmon Esrei. But again, why does he have to repeat Shmon Esrei? Because of the derabbanan of Shmon Esrei, namely the requirement of pirush of milim, which are all the benedictions that were formulated by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. That's all begeder takonis chachamim. So now ask yourself the following question: do I have to shots up? I have to evaluate myself. Do I have the ability to have the proper kavana? B, do I have to exclude myself from tefillah and, you know, disqualify myself from tefillah if I realize I'm torud b'machshavos and I don't have the ability to have the right kavanah. So the answer is, says Rav Chaim, that depends. If you're dealing with A and B, namely the Doraisa tefillah that requires both kavanah for Omid Lefnei Hashchina and B, the kavanah l'shem mitzvah, then you're going to have to evaluate yourself, check yourself out and see if you're capable of that, of those two kavanahs. Because if you're not capable of those two kavanahs, then your tefillah is completely bereft of the status of tefillah, even on the Doraisa, the bare minimum Doraisa level, you forfeit. But if on the other hand you pass the test, you evaluate yourself, then you are capable of the kavanah of Omi Lifnei Hashchina and kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah, but you realize that you don't have Pirush HaMilas for whatever reason, then even if you left out the kavanah, even on the first bracha for that matter, of Pirush HaMilas, at least I'll call upon him, what we can grant you is the Kiyum Doraisa of Tefillah. And therefore there's no need for you to evaluate yourself and enjoin yourself from tefillah if you fail that evaluation, if you realize you're libo tarun, because what's at stake over here? What's not in jeopardy is the tefillah itself. The tefillah itself is guaranteed. Because even if you don't have Pirush HaMilas, the tefillah will be meaningful. Because it's al kol panim kiyum doraisa of tefillah. You have the first two kavanas. The Rabbanan are going to require that you repeat your Shmon Esrei if you didn't have Pirush HaMilas, which means in Avos, the first bracha. But the Rabbanan are not going to go ahead and say that if you cannot fulfill our Rabbanan, then you're not allowed to be Mispalel, because the Rabbanan cannot or will not block you from attaining the Kiyum Doraisa of Tefillah. Is that clear?
So if you have that too, the Raisa requirements.
Right.
But the Pirush HaMilas, you don't have.
You're not capable.
From beginning to end. Then.
So then you should go ahead and daven. You might have to daven a second time, but we're going to, in any event, allow you to daven, because by being Omed L'Tefillah, you will achieve, at the very least, the Tefillah Doraisa. So you haven't misused or abused your obligation of tefillah, and that's what you obtain. Now, if at the end of your Shmon Esrei you admit that although you had kavana A and B of Omid Lefnei Hashchina plus kavanas hamitzvah, then there's no tragedy over here. Nothing catastrophic is taking place, because you did al kol panim daven. The Rabbanan are going to require you to achieve another tefillah and fulfill their takanas chacham of tefillah, which requires Pirush HaMilas. So therefore, once you've evaluated yourself before you stood up for davening to fulfill the tefillah doraisa with A and B, then go ahead and be mispalel, because that tefillah is guaranteed to be meaningful on a Doraisa level. The Torah recognizes that tefillah is a valid tefillah. The Rabbanan are going to say to you, well, we have an additional obligation that can only be fulfilled through Pirush HaMilas. And the Rabbanan said, if you davened all 19 brachas and it was completely bereft of Kavanas Pirush HaMilas, or for that matter, perhaps even if you prayed the first benediction of Os without Kavanah, you're going to have to repeat Shmon Esrei, but not to say that your first Shmon Esrei was meaningless. That was a kiyum of Tefillah Doraisa. We're going to force you to daven again in order to obtain and achieve Tefillah Derabbanan. So let's just summarize how many different elements of Derech HaLimud we see in this Reb Chaim. I think this Reb Chaim is really almost critical in if we're trying to figure out Reb Chaim's Derech HaLimud. Now, first of all, on a technical level, Reb Chaim is operating with the principle of Stimas Loshon HaRambam. And he's analyzing Perek Dalet Milchus Tefillah from that perspective. If the Rambam doesn't say anything about Pirush HaMilas, he only speaks about the Kavana of Omid Lefnei Hashchina. And if the Rambam goes ahead and says, Kol Tefillah Shelo B'Kavana Ein HaTefillah, then we have to assume he's referring to all 19 brachas, and any bracha that was recited without this kavanah of Omid Lefnei Hashchina is as if Kilu Dileg, it's as if he skipped that bracha, and therefore he's going to have to repeat Shmon Esrei. Meaning, if the Rambam felt that Kavana was only required in part of the Shmoneh Esrei, so he should have spelled that out. And the rule of thumb, says Reb Chaim, when we learn the Rambam, is that which is unqualified is unqualified. And any tefillah without Kavana is not tefillah. That's point number one. Point number two is Reb Chaim's great revolution in Derech HaLimud is to differentiate between what I call essential or internal and external, between the Chefta of the Maisa and the Tanai Chitzoni. And therefore he says that since the Rambam defines this Kavana in Perek Dalet as called tefillah she'ein bo kavana ki lo ispalel, the Rambam must be defining the very essence of the ma'aseh tefillah. And here's where Reb Chaim activates the term misasik. The word misasik becomes almost a code word for Reb Chaim, because whenever we apply misasik, it means we're touching on the essence of the ma'aseh and the conditions that must be fulfilled to set up the essence of the ma'aseh. The absence of any of those conditions is going to be called misasik. Misasik means that maisa is not a maisa. It doesn't relate to me at all. I had no awareness of the maisa. So a man is reading out psukim in Kriyat Shema while he's being magia sefer Torah, and it happens to be that by reciting that parsha, he is doing the external maisa of Kriyat Shema, but he has no mental awareness of Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. That's called misasik. There's no maisa of Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. Point number three is that then there's something called a din, which the Reb Chaim uses here as a din kavana. That's already external. That's already a tanai. Meaning the maisa tefillah you've already set up, and then there's something called external. And where in the Rambam does he talk about this din, this external condition? So number one, he has it in Perek Yud with regard to Pirush HaMilos. So Pirush HaMilos is not a prerequisite in setting up a Maisa Tefillah, and the absence of Kavanah LePirush HaMilos would not give him the status of a Misasek. That's point number one. And point number two, the Rambam elsewhere, for example in Hilchos Shofar, is going to tell us that you need Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah. And in the absence of Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah, you're lacking a Din Kavanah. Now again, a Din Kavanah, in the case of Pirush HaMilos, Reb Chaim says, is external to the Maisa Tefillah. So even if you're absent the Din Kavanah of Pirush HaMilos, you still have a Maisa Tefillah. And that's going to be very important for the next point that Reb Chaim wants to make in differentiating between Doraisa and Derabbanan. On the other hand, Reb Chaim insists that Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah, insofar as the Rambam accepts the principle of Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah, is already essential to the Mitzvah. And without it, it's not a Maisa Mitzvah, because the Kavanah is what's going to transform your physical act, your mundane secular act, into and upgrade it into the level of a Maisa Mitzvah. Now, I just want to point out, there is one issue here in the language of Reb Chaim that I wanted to sort of emphasize here, and that is in the paragraph on the top of page 2. He says, "Ube emes." This is about 15 lines down from the top. "Emes gam bidin kavana trei dinim yesh bazeh." There are two dinim of kavana. "Chad din kavana shemachamin laso sam mitzvah vavi din kavana shel kol ha mitzvus." The Kaimel Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. Now it's very interesting because Reb Chaim classifies this Din Kavana of Asiyas HaMitzvah, meaning that he's doing this action L'Shem Chovasa L'Shem Mitzvah, as a Din Kavana. And Reb Chaim seems to give you the impression that a Din Kavana is already external. But that doesn't fit with Reb Chaim in the next paragraph, Ehine, because midway through that paragraph he writes, he says, "Trei gavne chiyuve heim b'tfila mechuyiv l'chamin shu omeid b'tfila," and that's the kavanah l'shem mitzvah mishum delo shanya tfila mishar mitzvahs, that every mitzvah requires kavanah. And Reb Chaim seems to assume that in terms of that chiyuv, he will be a misasik. Meaning, in the absence of kavanah l'shem mitzvah, he's a misasik, he's lacking in the ma'aseh tefillah. Before, he called it a din kavanah. And a chisaron b'din kavanah is external to the ma'aseh mitzvah. Here, when he gets to a din kavanah that applies to all mitzvahs, he says it's mevatel the ikar mitzvah, which means the ma'aseh mitzvah, in the absence of that kavanah b'chol mitzvah. So it's very interesting. Even the din, in this case, din kavanah, Reb Chaim splits into two. There's din kavanah that's required to define the essence of the ma'aseh mitzvah. In its absence, you're a misaseh. And there's a din kavanah which is external to the ma'aseh mitzvah. The ma'aseh mitzvah is set up, is achieved even without that kavanah. That's pirush hamilus. Now, another point in Derech HaLimud is that Reb Chaim is very sensitive to what we call tzvei dina, meaning he takes one din, which was called kavana. For example, if you were writing an article on tefillah, you may write many articles on tefillah, but one article would be entitled kavana b'tefillah, and Rav Chaim wants to take that kavana b'tefillah and smash it into its very discrete or its distinct part. So he takes one concept that seems to have one meaning, and he divides it and smashes it into its component parts. That's called Tzvei Dinim. The fascinating thing is that this is the first example in Reb Chaim's Sefer of Tzvei Dinim, and it really comes out to be Drei Dinim. That, like the Rugged Shavu, Reb Chaim says there are three Dinim in Kavana. And the next point, which I cannot overemphasize, is in Derech HaLimud, that Reb Chaim says that as far as setting up a Tefillah D'Oraisa, it's not just the Rambam Shita. Even the Ramban, who he hints at, he alludes to, he doesn't mention the Ramban explicitly, who holds against the Rambam that tefillah is only Drabbanan, even the Ramban would agree that although the Chiyuv tefillah is only Drabbanan, but the Kiyumat tefillah is L'kuli Alma min HaTorah. So the Ramban would say, according to Reb Chaim, that although I'm not obligated in the midst of tefillah, nevertheless, once I get up and I daven, I do obtain a kiyum d'oraisa of tefillah. And that brings us to the very fundamental distinction in the Derech HaLimud of Reb Chaim between chiyum and kiyum. And very often we speak about a mitzvah kiyumis. One of Reb Chaim's talmidim, Reb Elchanan Wasserman, Sefer Tzadik B'Kodesh Baruch Hu, he made a whole parnasa out of this concept of mitzvah kiyumis. And he builds a lot of chidushim in Masechta Beitza and other places on this concept of mitzvah kiyumis. And very often we ask ourselves, what is the meaning of mitzvah kiyumis? If Hashem wants this mitzvah and He rewards us for this mitzvah, that's called a mitzvah kiyumis, so I can decide tonight whether I want to eat steak well done or rare. That's not a mitzvah kiyumis. I will not be rewarded for making that decision. It's purely secular. But a mitzvah kiyumis means that although I'm not obligated, I obtain a mitzvah and I'll be duly rewarded for that. Now, if that be the case, why isn't that a chiyuv? The whole idea of a mitzvah is to fulfill God's will. And if God is rewarding me for doing a mitzvah kiyumis, obviously that's His will. And if that be the case, why isn't it called a chiyuv? And secondly, what's the source? What's the earliest basis for this distinction that Reb Elchanan makes over and over again between mitzvah chiyuvis and mitzvah kiyuvis? And I believe we just learned it right here in one line of Reb Chaim in Tefillah, that Reb Chaim holds that according to the Ramban, although the chiyuv tefillah is the Rabbanah and the kiyum is the Raisa. And what is a mitzvah kiyuvis? A mitzvah kiyuvis means that Hashem is not going to force me. There's no coercion. He's going to hope, so to speak, if I can use that term to describe the divine being, hope that we'll opt and take advantage, seize the opportunity of that kiyum mitzvah and pray to Him. So prayer becomes something that's not obligatory. And this really reflects very much on what we saw, what we mentioned before, the name of the Rav in the Yartzeit Shiurim, that to get up and say, I'm being miskaven l'shem mitzvah by davening, mitzvah means an obligation. Well, that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want you to be obligated in tefillah. He wants you to take advantage of that possibility of getting close to Him with a capital H, with tefillah. But it remains an option. It's voluntary, and that's the Ramban Shita. The Rav also used to add to this Reb Chaim that there is one category of tefillah that even the Ramban would agree is a chiyuv tefillah, and that's called tefillah the Ace Tzara, and that might come under the Rambam in Hilchas Tainius, where the Rambam describes the mitzvah of Za'aka, that whenever Klal Yisrael are facing an Ace Tzara, then the Torah says that we're obligated in Za'aka. And Za'aka means three things. It means number one, tefillah. Number two, it means tainus, it means fasting. And number three, it means blowing the chatzotzros. Now today, there's a new custom. I don't know if you've heard about it. They blow chatzotzros on a fast day at the Kotel. So I don't think the Rav would be too happy about that. You know, he had enough trouble with Yom HaTzma'ud and all the stuff they do to blow chatzotzos at the, you know. Maybe it's a zeichel in Mikdash, but to call it a kiyum of za'ak on a deraisa level is very difficult, because the mitzvah chatzotzos applies, you know, within a certain framework of the Beis HaMikdash. Right. So in any event, whenever the chiyuv zaka emerges as a mitzvah d'oraisa, the Ramban would agree that tefillah is d'oraisa, and zaka means crying out to Hashem in prayer and supplication. That we're obligated to do, b'yetz tzara. Now exactly how to fit that into the Rav's perspective, because if tefillah should not be a burden, an obligation, and a yoke on my shoulder, why does it become such at the time of the b'yetz tzara? You know, that's something that has to be understood. Okay, so I'm going to close the door here.
There has to be a whole lot of literature written on the Rambam in Perek Dalet and Perek Yud.
Yeah, I know that the Chazon Ish wrote a whole article on this.
It stares you in the face.
Right. I don't have my copy because I'm still Shabbistic. You know, I walked here on Shabbos.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't been back in my house, and I don't even have a car, but I walked here, and I don't have my Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim they have here in the yeshiva doesn't have the Chazon Ish in the back. But the Chazon Ish makes many comments here on the Reb Chaim. We mentioned last time one of the comments of the Chazon Ish, that there's something called the Yediyah Keha, that if I'm standing in front of Hashem, then I'm definitely aware of the fact that I'm lifnei Hashchina. Otherwise, what am I doing standing and talking to Hashem? So if I'm talking to you, I must be at some level aware of the fact that you're there and I'm standing in your presence. Otherwise, why am I mumbling words, you know? Reb Chaim would say no, that if your mind is out there, you know, thinking about the Eagles and the Vikings or whatever is on your mind, then you're not even aware of the fact that you're standing in front of Hashem. The Chazon Ish has this, you know, subconscious latent awareness. But there are other comments here of the Chazon Ish. So maybe if we get a chance, either tomorrow or another opportunity, we'll look into the Chazon Ish. But yeah, this Rav Moshe Soloveitchik from Switzerland, who passed away not long ago, he also wrote an article on this Reb Chaim. I don't know how to get access to it, but in that article again, he presents Reb Chaim and defends Reb Chaim against all the attacks of the Chazon Ish. It's fascinating that according to the Chazon Ish, the Rambam in Perek Yud really turns out to be theoretical, and it's never halacha l'maisa, because we always have this Yediyah Keha. And yet the Rambam explicitly says, and let's read the Rambam's language. Number one, the Rambam writes, "Him ispal below kavana, chozer ispal bekavana." According to the Chazon Ish, how do you read that? Secondly, the Chazon Ish is going to combine Perek Dalet with Perek Yud, and that violates the principle of the Rambam organizing his halachas. And thirdly, the Rambam says that before a person gets up to daven, he should shatz himself up. He should evaluate himself whether or not he can have this kavana. And what's a daita mishubeshes v'libo tard asalo lispal? Now, why is it asalo lispal if, according to the Chazon Ish, he'll always have this yediyah keha that he's standing in front of Hashem? Very difficult. But the most fascinating part of this Reb Chaim, I mean, forgetting about the Chazon Ish for a moment, just Reb Chaim within Reb Chaim, you know, it's a separate independent bubble, an entity, a framework unto itself. What I find most fascinating is that if a person realizes before he davens that he has zero connection to Pirush HaMilim, nevertheless, he can go ahead and daven. Even though he's going to have to daven again. It's very paradoxical, very revolutionary. You know, I know right now that after I finish davening, undeniably, unquestionably, I'm going to have to repeat that Shmoneh Esrei. Go ahead and daven. Why? Because I can achieve a tefillah d'oraisa. And the Rambam says, before you get up and daven, evaluate yourself. Can you achieve that tefillah d'oraisa? Even if your answer to tefillah d'rabban is no, I don't have the capacity, go ahead and daven. Knowing full well that the rabbanon are going to require that you replace that tefillah with a second tefillah. And this touches on a whole different topic about the relationship between d'oraisas and d'rabbanans. We've touched on it on more than one occasion, that sometimes when the rabbanon require a certain condition that they create and they propose, they can even undermine a d'oraisa. And the classical example of that would be u'b'shabuchav kumecha, in which the rabbanon prohibited you from sitting down or lying down to recite Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, which is the Shita of Beit Shammai, to the extent to which if a person went ahead and did it the way Beit Shammai wanted it, there's no kiyum at all in his Kriyat Shema. The Rabbanan seem to have been oker the Doraisa. And in that sugya, in Brachos, they mention also the Machlokes Beisul Beit Shammai about Sukkah, in which case Beit Shammai would say that as long as your shulchan is inside the sukkah of Yotze, even though your body's outside the sukkah, Beis Hillel would say no. And based on the Rabbanon, that, you know, if your shulchan, if your shulchan is outside the sukkah and you're physically inside the sukkah, you'll be nimshach, you know, boss of the sukkah, boss of the shulchan. So that the Rabbanon are okay, the mitzvah d'oraisa of sukkah here. Because even if he ate inside the sukkah, he wasn't yotze because the shulchan was outside the sukkah. I don't remember all the details of the sukkah, but suffice it to say that there are situations in which the rabbanon are oker a mitzvah kiyum d'oraisa. Here, Rav Chaim insists no. The rabbanon found the d'oraisa tefillah untouchable. So that even if I fulfilled two out of the three kavanos, those requirements, missing the third kavana, which would be likuva, absolutely indispensable in avos, nevertheless, we still recognize the validity of the tefillah d'oraisa, which raises the question, when, you know, what are the rules of the game? When did the rabbanan say, well, we are going to add a condition to the d'oraisa, and without fulfilling that condition, it's as if we can negate the kiyum d'oraisa? And when do they say no? We're going to leave the kiyum d'oraisa as is. We're going to set up a duplicate mitzvah to that of the d'oraisa with our own conditions. And in the absence of that condition, although I'm going to grant you and validate your mitzvah d'oraisa, I'm going to require you to duplicate that mitzvah on a d'rabbanan level. When do the Rabbanan go with A, and they say, you know, forget about the whole mitzvah d'oraisa, it's out. And when do they go with B, and they say, no, you're able to obtain a mitzvah d'oraisa, you'll just have to repeat the mitzvah in order to obtain the mitzvah d'Rabbanan. What are the rules, the ground rules for that decision? It's interesting, for example, sometimes the Rabbanan will set up a shear in a mitzvah, and that shear will go beyond the Torah law. Does it mean that if I only do the minimum shear of the d'oraisa, then I wasn't mekayim anything? Or do I have that kiyum, but I need an additional extra inch in order to fulfill the d'oraisa? The d'rabbanan, sorry. Okay. Now we're still in Hilchas Tefillah, but now we're looking at Perek Yud Halacha Vav, which is the left column on page 2. And let's just get the basics here. The law is that you cannot you cannot integrate a tefillah that's made up of two parts. One part is l'shem chova, and the other l'shem nedava. Which means that if a person had already davened that particular tefillah, let's say for example he davened shachris this morning, but oh no, he forgot that he davened shachris. He got confused. This is something that happens often in benching. You know, you don't remember if you benched or not. In tefillah, it's a little more rare, but it could happen even in tefillah, especially with mincha. Let's say, for example, you normally daf mincha later, but on that particular occasion, you chapped an early mincha, you know, mincha gedola mincha. Then, when it's time to go to mincha with the tzibur, you gravitate with the masses over to shul to daf mincha, and then midway through Shmoneh Esrei, boom, it occurs to you, wait a minute, this was a fluky day, and I already davened mincha earlier. So what should he do? So in that case, he's got to drop the ball, stop exactly where he is, and gandik, and that's it, finito. Because even if he would decide to complete the Shmoneh Esrei as a tefilas nedava, he cannot take a tefillah that was prayed, the first half of which was prayed as a tefillas chova, and integrate it with the second half, which will now be prayed as an nedava. So chova and nedava are what we call min b'she'eno mino, and they cannot be mitztarif. The Rambam establishes an exception to that rule, and that's tefillas arvus. So once again, I'm just going to give an imaginary scenario. Let's say normally I daven ma'ariv late at night, almost at midnight. In my neighborhood, that's very feasible because you can get minyanim. It's called Imre Shefer. It's a factory to as late as 1 a.m. That's the latest I ever saw. But somebody told me it goes even later. I know that in Flatbush, in Landau, you know, on East 14th and L, wherever it is, they have tefillah, I don't know how late. So normally, let's say it's my custom to daven very, very late. On that particular occasion, I was at a chasana, and right after the chuppah, they davened ma'ariv. But 5 hours later, when I got home, I totally forgot about the fact that I davened ma'ariv 5 hours earlier. So I go to the shul, midway through Shmoneh Esrei, again, the same scenario, I bang myself in the head, and I say, wait a minute, I already davened ma'ariv. So the Rambam establishes that I'm allowed to finish the tefillah, and complete my tefillah as nedava. Why? Because tefillas arvus reshus. We paskin that ma'ariv is reshus. So that which I davened the first half of the davening was a reshus. And it was an optional Shmoneh Esrei. And therefore it could link up, it could be integrated with the tefillas nedav. So the Rambam writes, Haya omed b'tefila v'nizkar shekvar hispalel posek afil memtzav bracha, but in hoysa tefillas arvus Eino posek. Shalo ispal osa mitchila, the first half of the Shmoneh Esrei, I don't mean that literally a half, but whatever the first part of Shmoneh Esrei, ela al dasha eino chova. It's not a chova because tefilas arvus reshus. And the Raivan is not happy. He says, ein ka nachas ruach. The Raivan unfortunately doesn't tell us exactly why ein ka nachas ruach. Is the Raivan of the opinion that tefillas arvus chova? We don't paskin like the Ma'ariv Omer tefillas arvus reshus. If the Raivad agrees that tefillas arvus reshus, then the Rambam would seem to be compelling in his logic that he only started tefillas arvus as an adov. Now just for the record, and what I'm about to say is really a maimar muzgar in brackets, has nothing to do with what we're about to learn, I would have said that the Raivid is differentiating between what's called Rishus and Nedava. And basically, according to the Raivid's philosophy, there are three categories of tefillah. There's a tefillas chova, there's a tefillas Nedava, which is on the other extreme, and right down the middle, there's something called a tefillas Rishus. And the difference is that a tefillas reshus cannot, according to the Raivid, be integrated with a tefillas nedava. Because a tefillas reshus means that although I'm not obligated, it's not just a voluntary tefillah. There's something called a totally voluntary tefillah. Let's say, for example, I add to the three tefillahs of the day a fourth tefillah. And it's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Yom Tov, it's not Shabbos. So that fourth tefillah, wherever it is, would be a tefillas nedava. In the case of Ma'ariv, he's still within the framework of three tefillos, albeit tefillos haris reshus, but it's not in a dove. Okay, I'm just mentioning that in brackets. I don't want to confuse you because that, you know, that's not the way Reb Chaim is going to approach this raya.
He didn't read the raya the way you did.
No, no. He thought that the raya agrees to the Rambam that tefillos haris reshus makes tefillos haris into an adov in and of itself. And then the question that Reb Chaim wants to address is, so why, according to the raya, don't we accept the Rambam's logic that I could integrate the first part of my tefillah as an adov with the second part as an adov, and they're both an adov? So first he quotes the Kesef Mishnah, who adds a little to embellish the Ravid, and more than a little. I mean, Reb Chaim is going to actually build his whole Shtikl Torah on this Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah writes, the Sfirule, the Ravid's opinion is that Hagam, even though Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, but Kiblua Bechova. What does that mean? Kibluha Bechova. They accepted this tefillah upon themselves as a chova. In other words, in its original concept, in its original, you know, formulation, abstract, tefillas arvis is a reshus, but Klal Yisrael accepted it upon themselves as a chova. And once having done so, it becomes a tefillas chova. What's the Rambam's view? So here's where Reb Chaim makes a very great breakthrough that's in the, you know, it's the first time we're going to see this in Reb Chaim, but this is going to be almost the cornerstone for Reb Chaim's Derech HaLimud. And he says the following, the Das HaRambam Tzorech Lomar Doha Dechova Unedova Lo Mitztarfei Humishum deim chalukim bi etzem hachefza shal mitzvah. This is the first time that Reb Chaim indicates a difference between chefza and gavra. And he says that there's a chefza shal tefillah called chova, there's a chefza shal tefillah called nedava. We look at the tefillah in and of itself, independent, as an abstract entity that can be called a chefza. And whatever the gavra decides, whether he accepts it upon himself as a chova or as or leaves it as a nedava, the tefillah itself is, by its own inherent definition, is either classified as chova or nedava. Which means that in the case of Ma'ariv, the tefillah in and of itself, forget about the gavra for a minute, as a cheftishal tefillah, is a tefillah as nedava. And the law is that you cannot integrate a chefza of min b'sheinu minu of nedava with chova. But if the chefza of tefillah, the entity of tefillah in and of itself, is a nedava, and that's the case of Ma'ariv, so when he davens Ma'ariv, he's davening as a nedava, because that's the essence of the tefillah. It's categorically defined and classified as a nedava. Now when he remembers midway, he already davened, the balance of his tefillah could be a tefillah's nedava. I, the right of his kashma, ha, de kavua lechova, pirusha kavua lechova al atzmam. Give me another word for atzmam. Gavra. Do you follow me? In other words, the chefza shel tefillah remains forevermore a chefza shel tefillah's nedava. I, the right, it's saying, but kiblu aleihem kechova, they accepted the tefillah as a chova. We relate to Ma'ariv as an obligation, obligatory. No, that's only al atzmam on the gavra. But when the gavra goes ahead and he davens, what chefza is he creating? He was makabel atzmo achovel ispal tefilas reshus in the double. Now, you know, if you were to read this sentence without any orientation to Reb Chaim's Derech HaLimud, it would make no sense whatsoever. It's like gibberish. What do you mean? They accepted themselves a chova to daven in a dava? I mean, come on. Who are you fooling? Like, take, you know, make a decision here, one way or the other. It's either black or white. Either it's a tefillas chova, it's a tefillas nedava. So what do you mean? Kavua, they established as a tefillas chova, lispal tefillas reshus. What does that mean? If it's a chova, then it's a tefillas chova. No, the answer is, the tefillah b'atzmusa, and here's where Reb Chaim used the word atzmusa. By the way, this word atzmusa, and again, this is a side point, this seems to undermine Rav Zevin's understanding of Rav Chaim, because Rav Zevin insists that Rav Chaim was not influenced by philosophy. And all of Rav Chaim's terminology comes from within the Talmud. So what we're going to have to do is, according to Rav Zevin, we're going to have to do a search through the Talmud and find and locate where the Talmud itself uses the term atzmusa or etzem. Because the word etzem is a classical philosophical term, which, for example, if we talk about Rav Hamiel's Hamidot Lemeka Alcha, that's like become basic because the Telzers were influenced by philosophy. So there's something called Atzmusa. But in any event, what Rav Chaim means is Atzmusa here refers to the Chefza Shel Tefillah. Tefillah as an independent halachic entity is a Nedava Urishus. Notice that Rav Chaim is not differentiating between Nedava and Rishus like I wanted to do. He's swallowing them up in one breath. Came on the Iker Takana Vechovas Tefillah Einarak Rishus in Nedava. The way the Chazal established Mayriv was as a Tefillas Rishus, and it remains a Tefillas Rishus. If the Atzmusa Shel Tefillah is a Tefillas Rishus, what does it mean? What sense do you make out of Kovolem Kechova? That's as far as the Gavra is concerned. My Chovas Gavra is completely self accepted, self imposed. And I accepted a responsibility to myself. But the chetz of tefillah, the essence of the tefillah and its entity remains a tefillas nedava. And you can imagine when Rav Chaim said these words, the whole yeshiva world shook from its, at its bootstraps. This is purely Rav Chaim. Could you imagine the Torah was given many, many millennia before Rav Chaim said this thing, and it was never understood in these terms. If anybody before Rav Chaim would have said that the Chefza of Tefillah is the Dava and the Gavra accepted upon himself as a Chova, they would laugh you out of the ballpark. You say gibberish. And Rav Chaim saw it as Torah's emes and had a tremendous influence on the Torah world. Although his mechutin was Rabbi Prushina, Rabbi Feinstein was the Rav in Prushin. He said about himself, when they asked about Rav Chaim's Derech HaLimud, he said, Ich bin far Matan Torah. In other words, there was a new Matan Torah with Rav Chaim. And if you need a sentence in Rav Chaim, that's the new Matan Torah, it's right here in the sentence. That on the one hand, the tefillah of Aris remains a chefza shel tefillah for shus, I kibluah kechova, that's only as far as the chovas gavra is concerned. The gavra was mischayev to daven at tefillas rishus. On King Shapir, now it makes sense. The pasak haRambam, the arvis hoel vehibat smusa rishus in nedava mitztarefes in tefillas nedava. So halfway through his davening of Mayriv, he decided, oh, I davened already, and now the balance of my tefillah should be a tefillas nedava. That's fine, and that can be integrated very beautifully to the first half of the tefillah, the chad mina, nenu, it's min bimino, because the first half of the tefillah, as a chefta shel tefillah, is a tefillah nedava. Vishari tefillos, and all other tefillos, the havyon chova beikar milsayu, when do we say that there's no siruf, and you cannot integrate two parts of tefillah, the second which is the nedava with the first part which is chova, that's as far as shari tefillahs, that means shachris and mincha, they become essentially fundamentally different than a tefillah's nedava, and they, whether it's shachris or mincha, cannot be integrated and completed with a tefillah's nedava. But when it comes to Meir, which in and of itself as a chefza shel tefillah remains forevermore a tefillah's nedava, that tefillah can be mitzur for the second half as a tefillah as nedavine barif. Bidin tefillah's arvus rishu siyem zelashonu miu hani mili hecha delot solile klal. Amal hecha dit solile le tefillah's arvus is kvar shavya ale lechova. In other words, if you're asking the question, says the Rif, is he obligated to daven tefillas arvis? He hasn't yet davened the tefillah, he says. That's called the Rishus. No one could obligate him to daven Mayriv. But once he sets up the tefillah, that tefillah he accepts upon himself, just like any other tefillah's chova. Vafilu man diyomar Rishus chovahu. I'm sorry. Vafilu leman diyom rishus chovahu delesa avol mitzvah isa. When we call it Rishus, what it means is it's not a Tefilas Chova, but he does obtain a Kiyum Tefilah. Va'idne Nog Alma Lashvi'e Chova. And now we've accepted out upon ourselves this Tefilah of Rishus as a Chova. Va'Rambam Perek Aleph Shom Kosev Zel Shono V'ein Tefilas Arvis Chova K'Tefilas Shachris U'Mincha. V'Afal Pichei Nogu L'Spal Tefilas Arvis K'Blu Aleikev Tefilas Chova. In other words, whereas the Rif said that once he gets up to daven, it becomes a tefilas chova, and the Rambam says no, that even if he gets up to daven, it remains a tefilas rishus. And that's why the Rambam says in an absolute unqualified way, ain't tefilas arvis chova can tefilas shachris u'mincha. So even though we were knowing to daven tefilas arvis, and we accepted upon ourselves a chova, but nevertheless the tefilah itself remains a tefilas rishus. Says Reb Chaim, if you compare meticulously the language of the Rambam in Perek Aleph to the language of the Rif, you will see a fundamental difference between the two. He says the Nira de Hishmit, the Rambam deliberately omitted Hod of HaRif, the Misha Hiskel is Pal Shavya Lechova, because the Rif seems to indicate that once he gets up and he davens, then he makes that tefillah into a tefillah schovah, and he transforms the very essence of the cheft shel tefillah, davidin batzmusa shel tefillah, dimishe hischil espal nasi schov meileh. And that's what the Rambam is going to omit. The lefi zeh, according to the Rif, hatefillah biatzma shanya hi mitefillas nedava. Once he accepts upon himself and he goes ahead and davens, this tefillah becomes not a reshus and not a nedava. And the Rambam holds that tefilas arvis biatzmusa vichad mina and tefilas nedava, that tefilas arvis in its very heft, its very essence, remains a tefilas nedava. Al kein, therefore hishmit, he leaves out what the Rif says, that he went up and he davened. The siyam, and he only completes himself by saying, hadakavu achovar atzalom de nagul is palil at tefila. They accepted upon themselves as a mina kavua to daven this tefila of Mayriv, which is a tefilas nedava, and it remains a tefilas nedava, despite the fact that we accepted it upon ourselves to daven this tefilah as if it were a chova. And this is the way Reb Chaim understood the Rambam. And then he writes the Ayin Od. If you look furthermore in Perek Gimel Milchas Tefilah, the Rambam says the following. Okay, this I believe has something to do with Erev Shabbos. Let's see if I'm right. Tfilas ha'erev afal pishein achova ha'mespalel sozmana mascheles. I'm sorry, mitchilas ha'layla ad shiyala buda shachar. Meaning that shachar simin have definite zmanei atfila, begins and ends, right? A book ends. You might say, well, arvis is only a tfilas rishus, and therefore perhaps there are no bounds whatsoever as far as zmanat tefillah. There's no beginning and end. No, says the Rambam, that's not so. Mispal tefillah kodem zmano lo yotze yidei chovaso v'chozer mispalel osa bizmano. So therefore, the time for arvis is from laila, tchilas laila, which means tzeisa kochom, up to and not beyond amud hashachar. However, there is still a fundamental difference in halacha between zman tefilas arvis and all the other zmanei tefilah. Says the Rama, with regard to arvis, yesh lo lispalel tefilas arvis shel Shabbos be erev Shabbos kodem shetishkach chama. Very fascinating. We've just established that the zman tefilah for arvis is after laila, after tzeisa kochavim. Says the Rama, I have no compunctions and no hesitations about davening tefilas arvis on Erev Shabbos before Shkiyas HaChama. Now wait a second, we have a rule that if you daven a tefilah kodem zmano, it's chozer mispalel, you are on Yotze. Why is the exception arvis on Erev Shabbos? And the Rambam himself gives the justification, writes lefi shetefilas arvis rishus. Now this is interesting, we've already accepted upon ourselves tefilas arvis as a chova, and yet the Rambam says explicitly that tefilas arvis is rishus. We see clearly that according to the Rambam, the atzmusa shel tefillah remains a tefillas rishus, and the nafkamina is that he can be a little bit more flexible with zmani atfila, and he can set up a tefillas arvis after shkia, or even before Shkia on Erev Shabbos, before Zman Tefilas Arvis has emerged, and that's fine. Because again, we're talking about a Cheftza Shel Tefilah, which is a Tefilas Rishus and a Dova. And insofar as the Tefilas Nedava is concerned, we can be a lot more liberal and flexible about Zman HaTefilah, and you can have a Tefilas Arvis before Shkia and your Yotze. And the second afkamin is that the Rambam holds it remains bi'atzmusa tefilas rishus, such that if he reminds himself in the middle of Ma'ariv that he already davened, he can be mitzarif the balance of his tefillah as an edava with the first part of his tefillah, which remains a tefilas rishus, even despite the fact that we accepted it upon ourselves as a chova. And the Rambam in Perek Gimel Hilchos Tefillah, Hisik, he again disagrees with the Rambam, and it all fits the shitasa. The Ein Roy Lassos came, that we really don't recommend davening Arvis before Shkia Sachama, even on Erev Shabbos, because that's like the Rif. The Rif says that although in its original formulation, Tfilas Arvis was an Adava, but yet when we get to the Tfila itself, that we've accepted upon ourselves Kechova, it reverts back or transforms its very essence or its personality to that of a tefilas chova. So once again, we have to summarize two clear-cut nafkaminas to this chiddush of Reb Chaim and the Rambam. Nafkamina number one is that the Rambam will allow you to complete a tefilas arvis that you thought was a chova, and you found out it was not a chova. Complete it as a tefilas nedava. And there's no problem, Mishaino Mino, the Tziruf will be established because the Tefillah Batzmusa, even after we were accepted upon ourselves, the Chov remains the Tefillah's Rishus, so it becomes Minbe Mino. And second afkamina is that on Erev Shabbos, we can be Mekil and be more lenient about the Zman Tefillah's Arvis. And even though the Zman Tefillah's Arvis is after Tzeis HaKochavim, nevertheless, we're going to allow him to daven before Shkia, in order to fulfill the mitzvahs of Shabbos. And this is another expression of the fact that the tefillah batzmusa remains a tefillas rishus. All this doesn't fit into the Raivin and the Rif. Alright, we'll stop here.